Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Have we forgotten the Cavs kind of finding who they were in the first four games of that Miami series? And I do think the Cavs were ramping up throughout that series. I think they just, the first three games, then Miami just rolled over like a dead dog. But like, I think the Cavs just every game of that series continue to put it together more. I expect that, I don't want to say momentum, but I expect that health and growth to showcase itself on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't think any Pacers people, by the way, we're going to have our guy on at three, and I don't think he's going to come on and be like, the Pacers are going to win this series. I just think the Pacers have played better basketball in the past month and a half or so, and people are kind of, I don't know, they're giving them their flowers because they know how this thing is going to go is what I think is happening.
I actually think it's that people are waiting. I feel the same way with how people talk about Tyrese Halliburton. I think so many people are waiting what they did last year. And it's like, guys, different year.
Like the Eastern Conference Finals trip was enough to go ahead and as if they made some sort of step forward.
I mean, even when we talked about Fedor and we're comparing Darius to Tyrese Halliburton, he's like, listen, I've seen Halliburton lead his team to an Eastern Conference Finals.
And he was incredible. And he was incredible in that playoffs.
He was, but he and the Celtics had very fateful paths to the Eastern Conference Finals. Most years, that Pacers team doesn't go as far as they did last year. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, but that was a product of the East just being way down. The East looks better this year. And again, maybe the Pacers got a good draw with Milwaukee in round one, but I don't know. It's a weird spot you're putting me in. It makes you almost feel like I'm like defending the Pacers when I was pretty adamant that the Cavs were in a really good spot entering round two. So I don't want to seem like I'm defending the Pacers at all, but I am going to recognize why this Pacers team is much better than I think the perception of it is. And that includes what they even did last year, Nick.
Oh, it's funny. I think the perception is out of whack. I think they're a really good Eastern Conference team.
I mean, everyone in Indiana tells you how they get no respect. No one talks about them in any sort of positive way.
It's also because they're in Indiana.
Well, I mean, it's odd because I listen to them and I tune in, and you know I do this when we get closer and closer with series against other teams. I try to figure out like what they're saying, and all they're saying is it's basically the same things we kept saying all season long. Yeah, it's like copy and paste.
And they're not wrong, by the way. Outside
they feel very disrespected.
Well, okay, but like, what did you really do last year? Like, no, I'm not trying to be the
they
guy
made it
that
to the Eastern Conference
you,
Finals. I don't know.
But like, the NBA playoffs are normally about who has the most upper echelon talent. I don't think you have two of the best players. I think at best, Tyrese Halliburton's the third best player in the series. And I honestly think people are disrespecting Darius by not having him in the conversation.
I mean, Fedor had him above Mobley yesterday.
And Chris can be wrong, right?
I guess he can.
Chris goes out of his way to be as unbiased as he possibly can. So maybe I'm just the fanboy in this. I think this series is going to bear out who the real best team in the, ready for it, Central Division is.
Oh, wow, he brought divisions into play.
And I think
that's how you know he's serious.
And I think you're going to see the gap between these two teams. And whether it's Evan, whether it's Darius, if he actually does play in enough of these games, like, I think the Cavs are well-positioned to make a statement in this series. In the same way, listen, they're not going to make the same statement they were in Miami because Indiana is a better team, but you know, if you cover tonight, if you win by 8 points or more against this Pacers team, That's the beginning of a statement against this Indiana team.
I'm going through their postseason last year. They went through the Bucks, then they went through the Knicks. But the Knicks was a 7-game series, Nick. Like that was, I think that's where Halliburton gets a lot of love because he really was, and especially in the biggest moments, that's when he came to shine in just a magnificent way. And then obviously the Eastern Conference Finals was just a blowout, and it was what it was.
216-474-0092, and I think Game One's going to tell the tale of the tape.
That's how I see it too.
It like, really
we'll know after game one if this is going to be a blowout, continue to be what it is, or if this is going to be a gear it up. Doherty was right. 7 games is what it is.
It would not surprise me if the Cavs blew out the Pacers in game one.
I mean, aren't you kind of expecting something big? Again, we're 7.5-point favorites. Like I want to give you credit for putting your chest out there and saying it with conviction and all these other things.
As I tend to do when I say those
things.
But
you are 7.5-point favorites. Like, that's not a tiny number. Like, Vegas really does believe the Cavs are a significantly better team than the Pacers are.
Well, okay, then why? Because maybe it's just every NBA analyst we've had on the station.
Maybe they're trying to sell a fight. I'm not sure.
See, okay, that also,
people don't love the idea that for so many months, everyone tells them the playoffs are when we'll talk about the Cavs and when it matters the most. And then when we get to the playoffs, we do very little talking about the Heat because the Heat series was trash. And then the Pacers series, if it's a blowout and you win in 5 games, guess what, guys? We're not going to talk a bunch about it because there won't be that much to talk about.
Okay, I don't hate what you're saying right now because I do think...
Breaking news at 11. Dominant sports team continues to dominate. Okay.
I do think there's a lot of people selling a fight on this. And so the reason why it matters is... You're just then not giving the Cavs their flowers. And that's what I hope the Cavs are hearing. How much, the Pacers are a dangerous team. Oh, they score a lot. Man, if only there was a team in Cleveland that scored more and was more dangerous. they've really stepped up the defense here recently. If there only there was a team that had better defensive ratings throughout the regular season. The Cavs are both better offensively and defensively. So, like, I don't see how this turns into a series that we truly worry about. And during the games, guys, we're going to worry. Indiana should play you a hell of a lot closer. Agreed. But, like, I don't know, man.
You're not going to find it from me. I think the Cavs are a significantly better team than the Pacers, and I can't find many areas where I think the Pacers are better than the Cavs. Offensive rebounds, is that it? I mean, we can go list by list and thing and everything that they do. It's not that the Pacers are bad. It's just the Cavs are better in every area.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Demos and Shaker. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I agree with your points. I think it's going to be a 5-game series. But I do, Nick, you brought up, I think they might take one in Cleveland just because of Carlisle and who knows, what could happen here. And then the whole Cleveland scene is going to go into panic overdrive. But let's, you guys have been very rational about why we're going to be there in 5. Part of it is also the national media doesn't look at either team. Okay, Cleveland's been the best team all year, and all they can talk about is Boston and the Knicks. Okay, so I'm not really that concerned that we're going to be underrated by them because we've been underrated all year by them. So that won't matter to me at all. What will matter to me is that our rotation is nice and big. And even with Darius, maybe he's not going to be, there the whole time. Remember last year, Bickerstaff wore our guys down to a nub. And then Orlando beat us up. And then when we got to Boston, it was like we just couldn't hang. This year, that's not the case. And I think that's the biggest difference, is this year is not last year. We have a better coach, probably, okay? Almost for sure we have a better coach, okay? So let's not panic. Cavs in 5.
Love that, Demos. Appreciate you. 216-474-0092. Maybe if you were playing... So I was going to say maybe if you're playing New York, I'd feel different about this because there'd be the historical precedents.
You would.
But they're not the physical Knicks anymore.
No, but you'd still feel a little bit differently about it. I imagine you would because even if you think the Pacers are a better team than the Knicks, there's a lot that comes with playing the Knicks. Whether that's even just playing at the Garden, the bright lights, the series from 2 years ago in the postseason, there's just so much more that comes with that. But this is not the main entree. This is the appetizer, and that's okay. Appetizers are good. We'll have fun with this. But I think every fan, it's hard to sell yourself that this is everything and then some. This is the main meal because it isn't. Boston's the main meal.
Yeah, maybe this is my way of thinking about it, but like. The Pacers have to prove they're in the Cavs league. The Cavs don't have to prove they're in the Pacers league.
Agreed, 100%.
Because it isn't last year's playoffs. And it's interesting. The Atkinson thing is real. Like, Kenny Atkinson, I think, versus Rick Carlisle is a – if you really just love basketball and matchups and matchups. I'm just starting to say generic things about basketball. you know, post-ups and being at the elbow. No, if you love – the matchup wars where, all right, I'm going to change this lineup or I'm going to change this tactic or I'm going to go to this defense. It's going to be great for that. But I just don't know how much of a difference Rick Carlisle can make when there's another good coach sitting across from him. Even the Darius stuff bugs me. Like, oh, I think it's fair to say, all right, where is Darius's health and how does it impact here?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that people, the dude hasn't played with the toe injury, right? But he was fantastic in the first two games of this. And people are already earmarking a regression for Darius. It's like, for the love of God, no, let the man play again before we just say he can't do what he did in the first two games of the Miami series.
We just don't know. That's the difference. There's a question mark there. I don't think it matters for this series, but it will matter for the Boston series.
And listen, I think we all understand that this series becomes interesting the second the Cavs lose a game. And for TV ratings, for it getting the kind of coverage that you want it to, the earlier the Cavs lose a game in this series, the much more interest, the greater interest this series is going to generate.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't think it matters. I think the Cavs are the heavy favorite for a reason, and I'm going into this excited because this is a tougher test.
Yeah,
I think, and I said something similar to this yesterday. This is probably what led to this. I think the Miami stuff should have raised our standard.
I think it did for some people, though. Like, again, that's why we played that clip from Broussard. I think for some people it did. I think for some people it did raise the standard, and I think they gave the Cavs a lot of credit, and they should. You can't tell us do it in the postseason all year long, and then when you do it in the postseason, we don't then want to recognize
it. You know, it was just against Miami.
I know. That's the hard part, is so many people go to that line, and that's ridiculous.
Saucy Old Mayor saying Cavs in six. Maxwell in Lakewood, how are we feeling about this series?
Oh, we're feeling fantastic, boys. I don't know about you. Well, obviously you guys love it too. But I want to say, point out that I don't know if you guys watched the Knicks game last night.
Yeah.
But it just felt like rewatching the Cavs from 2022 all over again.
You mean JB just not knowing what to do? Especially not putting Thompson in for the final 3 minutes defensively?
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing the way Atkinson just prepares our players and the focus of Donovan Mitchell just never letting anything get into his head, I think we're just so above the bright being too light or letting the pressure get into us at all. I think Kenny Atkinson and Donovan Mitchell with their leadership and the rotations, I think our boys are going to be ready, and I think we're going to take good care of business as we always do. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Maxwell.
Maxwell, appreciate you. Yeah, you know, I think JB just should have yelled at the officials more.
It was nonstop. I swear to God, he didn't stop. From the moment the game started, he just started yelling from the sidelines, and he didn't stop.
So I do think that style of the referee writing, I do think it works better with that kind of team where you're a physical team and you're a gritty team. And I do think it works better for that team. At some point, though, you have to shut up and let your players play.
5-point lead. Thompson, who's known for his defense, didn't go in for 3 minutes and 52 seconds for that game, and he just absolutely tanked his team's chances of winning.
Although, Malik Beasley, after the game, saying, I'm the best shooter in the world, and Thompson's the best defender in the world, I would like him immediately drug tested.
Yeah, I never hate when players do that, though.
You're quality NBA players. Shut up, Malik. You're on your seventh team, okay?
No, that's like Mario Chalmers thinking on a team with Dwayne Wade that he's the better player. Like, I never hate the irrational confidence from a player. Sometimes I can appreciate that.
Okay. So you like, in that like, moment, you like after the that Deion spot? Waiters thing?
Yeah,
Deion like Waiters, Deion exactly right. Jumping on the other side of the court with his arms saying, like, I'm wide open?
Deion Jordan, exactly right. Yeah. I love irrational confidence from athletes. It's a little character flaw that I have, is anytime I see a quote like that or a tweet like that, I'm like, you know what? It's not real, but I love that your brain goes there and you think that.
Why are people afraid of the Pacers? Actually, I'm going to answer that question before anybody even try. I think if you're afraid of the Pacers, you're really just afraid of the Cavs. I think if anybody out there thinks the Pacers can beat the Cavs in this series, what we're really saying is the Cavs can beat themselves in this series. And
will we find any national pundit to actually say the Pacers will beat the Cavs in the series?
It'll be Barkley.
Who are we going to find?
It'll be Barkley after the Pacers win a game. And then he'll immediately flip-flop back after the Cavs then win the next game.
Maybe we get someone like that, because I'm convinced that Barkley wants to be wrong like two or three times a month in a laughably wrong, like just bad way, because he thinks it's funny. That's where I'm just convinced of that theory. But like I don't know that we're finding anybody that's going to put the Pacers above the Cavs.
216-474-0092. How much will game one matter? And how much will it tell us about this series for the Cavaliers? Cavs are going to win. Cavs in five. Cavs are going to blow them out in game one. And the longest reigning head coach in major American sports says goodbye in 5 minutes in Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan.